Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. We're going to have a question tonight. Or one question. The people here, verse 13, they brought young children to him, to the Lord Jesus, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said to them, "Allow the little children to come unto me, and prevent them not, from such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, and put his hand upon them, and blessed them. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may have the inherit or have eternal life?" This is a lovely portion of scripture. I'm going to use PowerPoint pictures. I often use this to illustrate the story. But children love to ask questions. Boys and girls, who's ever asked a question beginning with "why"? Who's ever asked a question beginning with "what"? Who's ever asked a question beginning with "where"? Who's ever asked a question beginning with "why"? That's half your vocabulary as a child. Are we nearly there yet? Why? You have to go to bed at a set time. No, not you. Don't go to bed. You have to go to bed. Why? Because it's bedtime. Morning comes. You have to get up out of bed. Why? Because it's school time. Why? Children are learning all the time. Why? What? We're going to go now. Where are we going? Why are we going? What do they have to do when they get there? The little child's mind working overtime. Parent often gets impatient, just wait till they get there. You'll see when they get there. The parent says, "It'll take us 30 minutes to make this journey. The moment you leave, are we there yet?" No real concept of time. Where? And that's why the Lord Jesus has a special love for little children. They love to ask the question. Whenever you ask children about sin, or do you believe you're born with sin? Yes. Do you believe the Lord Jesus died on the cross and took your sin away? Yes. Do you believe you have to be saved to go to heaven? Yes. They never dispute it. They understand it. They know it. And when the Lord does the work in a child's heart, they know they must come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. The problem is, like the disciples, they start to question. When a person goes to high school, they start to question. Do you know the way hard that you're born with? It's really, really soft. And the Bible teaches us our weak heart is harder and harder. I often, in school assemblies, would illustrate by bringing the boy and the girl up. For example, if they're going to get married, it's a story. It could be one of the David and his wife, or Ruth, which would be Boaz, and you would say, "Hold hands." And they hold hands. And they say, "Are you happy to get married?" "Yes." You go to high school, you tell the same story, and they just look at each other, and it's like, "Whoa, I felt that from where I stand." And they won't hold hands. You know why? Because they're conscious as they get older of their looks, of their style, and the whole time, the wee soft heart is getting harder and harder towards the things of God. Of course, the Word of God is quick and powerful. I love it. He can break any heart. He can melt any heart. He can shake any heart and break any heart. But little children, God has a special love for them. Whenever this man came running to Jesus, he had everything this world could ever ask for. We ought to know him as the rich young ruler. I'm going to get a quiz after this. Whoever wins the quiz gets a free sausage with red sauce. And whoever comes second gets red sauce with a sausage. Okay? There's a difference, but it doesn't really make much difference. This man had everything. He was very, very rich. He came running up to Jesus. Hands up if you're very rich. Yes, that's most of the children. You get a pound and you think you're the wealthiest person in the world. He was also young. Hands up if you're young. Yes. And he was a ruler. He was very popular. Hands up if you're popular. Yes. We all like to be popular. So he was important. Everyone, if he lived in the graves, everyone would love him. They would vote for him. He lived in a big house. He had lots of money. He didn't need to go to the shop and there's a sale on because he could just go any time. If I would have been closed, I would imagine he owned lots of property, estates, all of these things. Lots of people working for him, animals, anything. Whatever he wanted, money was not a problem. A nice way to be. Most times when you go to buy something, you've got a contract. Do you have enough money to buy it? Maybe yes, but if you're left with very little, you have to make a decision. If you buy it, you lose out. He never got a problem. At the same time, he was brought up really well. He was brought up learning about the Bible and learning about God. And whenever Jesus came close to where he lived, the Bible says he ran up and he got down on his knees out of respect for who Jesus was, and he said, "Good Master, what must I do to have eternal life?" This is probably the greatest question anyone can ever ask. And of all the questions, what must I do to have eternal life? In other words, eternal life, that was also mentioned tonight, it means everlasting, it means forever. And we're only going through this life for a little time. The Bible talks about 70 years. Do you know most people don't take that? Lots of people go beyond that. If you're healthy, you might reach 80 or beyond or 90. But nobody really lives to 500 years old or 400 or 300 or 200. Reality is, our days are numbered. Our days are numbered. We've only got so many years and months and weeks and days. We all like to plan out our life. We're going to go to school. We're going to go to high school. We're going to work or study. And then we're going to maybe get married and family. Then we're going to work for so many years, maybe 25, get a vacation, and then stop. And then we'll be another 50 years to get married. It doesn't work like that. Bible says, boys and girls, Proverbs 27, verse 1, we're to boast on ourselves of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't plan our future. That's why the Lord Jesus emphasizes the importance, whenever you're young, of putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call anyone, especially little children, when your hearts are soft, your mind's open. And if you go to high school, there's so many other people who will penetrate you and challenge you away from God. And the only way to often to resist that is to be strong. I'm not talking about supernaturally, I'm talking about spiritually. And that starts the moment you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus. I also love the little verse about the law is the schoolmaster who brings us to Christ. So whenever you go to Sunday school at church, you're learning lots about God, just like this young man, he learned all about God, the way to God, because Jesus challenged him and said, you've got to keep the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Obey your parents. Don't steal. And he goes, all of these things I've kept since I was a little boy. But he says, what must I do? Reality is there's nothing you can do. I've got a page here. Do you know this page can take me to heaven? Do you want me to show you how to get to heaven on a page? Well, has anyone ever been on in a canoe? Yes? Anyone ever been in a big boat? Anyone ever been on a cruise liner? Can a big boat take you to heaven, boys and girls? Can a canoe take you to heaven? Might take it to Scotland, but not take it to heaven. What goes faster than a boat? A speedboat, that is a boat. It's an airplane. Anyone ever been on an airplane? Do you know what speed a plane does? 550 miles an hour. Can you run faster than that? No. If you were on an airplane and you told the pilot that slap a wee bit and go 45 degrees and go keep going straight. Can you get to heaven? No, you're the faster you get to the place, you can't breathe, there's no air. You can't get to heaven. What goes faster than an airplane? Built by man. Yes? A rocket. I don't look really, but I do look intelligent, so I can make a rocket. People are crazy. Look, just been a rocket. Can I get to heaven? I'm getting to the moon. Probably get to really close to the stars. Can I get to heaven? No, I can't. Nothing you can do. Nothing you can do by yourself can get you to heaven. But there's one more. Do you all know what it is? It's a cross. On a wee piece of paper. That's the way to heaven. Who died on the cross as the apostle Paul? Jesus. Jesus. The cross was empty. Because he was taken from the cross. He was buried. He rose again. He descended to heaven. And one day he's coming back. And he's going to come back with another piece of paper called the roll book. You still do Roman school? Does a teacher call it your name? Teachers today are very intelligent. They try to memorize everyone and mark them in. But one day the Lord Jesus will come back with a roll book. And he's going to call out the people who are here tonight by your first and last name. You're going to go, you're going to call out my name. Excuse me. Yes. I'm called out my name. What's your name? You're not going in my book called the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know what he says? You stand to the side. I don't know you. But I went to Sunday school and I went to church and the special meetings in the Green's church. I know you did. And you listened really well and you even had sweets, crossing the questions. But he said, what did you do with me? You were told about sin, how you're born of sin, separated from God. But what did you do with Jesus? That's why it's so important, this man. He loved something more than he loved Jesus. Do you know what it was? It was his money. Jesus said, if you want to have eternal life, he said, I want you to get all your money, all your property, everything you own, sell it, and give your money all the way to the poor people. Did he do that? Did he do it? No. Would you do that? Would you do that?
No.
No, at least you're honest. At least you're honest. Everybody else says the exact same answer. Only you spoke up. He did it. And the Bible says he went away very sorrowful. Very upset. Why? Because he wasn't willing to give up everything he loved more than Jesus. Does anyone know what the word J-O-Y spells? Yes? Joy. How do you spell joy? Yes? J-O-Y. J for Jesus. O for others. And Y for you. Was he willing to put Jesus first? No. Was he willing to put other people second? No. Was he willing to put himself last? No. Jesus challenged him. Because he knew he did not really love the Lord Jesus. And he didn't love the poor people. Because he wasn't willing to help them. And off he went. And all the people sitting around said to the Lord Jesus, can a rich man not go to heaven? Jesus said, of course they can. But it's easier for a rich man. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Don't know what a needle is. Is there any hole in the top of the needle? Can you put your finger through it? Can you put your wee finger through it? Can you squeeze the cow through it? Can you squeeze a big camel through it? Even if you've got a bit of ears. And three pounds and everybody else pushed. It won't stick. But Jesus said it's easier. Easier to do that than a rich man to go to heaven. That eliminates everyone trying to get to heaven their own way. We were singing a song tonight about heaven. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will, thou shalt be saved. Just to finish off, there was another man. What was he called? He was called Zacchaeus. Nobody likes him. Everybody loved the first man, but he left without becoming a Christian. Nobody likes Zacchaeus because he was a thief. He was a tax collector. And whenever he went to tax people's money, if your money tax was £10, he would say it's 11. And he would say to you, if your tax was 15, he would say it's 17. He was telling lies and he's stealing, and nobody liked him. But Jesus came to town this day, and he tried to get to the front of the people. And they say, excuse me, let me through. And it wouldn't work. Because the people didn't like him. People didn't love him. They didn't care for him. Did Jesus know he was there? He knew everything. And he came. And only Johnny was so determined to find Jesus that the Bible says he climbed up into a tree. Does climbing a tree make you a Christian? I used to love climbing trees. Even harder now. That's the case. He climbed up a tree. That's all he wanted to do, just to see Jesus. But he got the shock of his life. The Lord Jesus stopped at the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. Because I'm going to go to your house for tea. He had a choice to make. Was he going to come down from the tree or stay up the tree? Would you come down from the tree if that was you?
Yeah.
Would you? Yeah. Most people wouldn't. Most people would say, it's okay. I'm happy up here. Just climb the tree. I'm going to stay up. Go to somebody else. But Zacchaeus was very wise. That morning he woke up, he had no intention of talking to Jesus. He just wanted to see him. See, when you woke up this morning, you had no intention of becoming a Christian. No intention of thinking about God in this way. But the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. God calls, he knocks, he wants, he desires, he loves you. He wants to save you. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. And all the people said, why is Jesus talking to him? And Jesus said, because I came to call sinners. Not the righteous, not the good people, sinners. And you might think, like, well, I am a good person. I'm not a sinner. You see, the first man, he was a really good person. He could find no fault with him. He kept the commandments. He dressed really nice, he looked really well, he was a good neighbor, all these things. And he's the person who said no to Jesus. And now Jesus calls the worst person. What does he do? He comes down from the tree and he goes to his house and they're all having tea together. And what happens while they're eating? He says, Jesus, I've something to tell you. I'm a sinner. I stole people's money. I told lies. Jesus said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to go back to those people. I'm going to give it back to them. And I'm going to give back four times more. That's not normal. It's not natural to do that. Yes, give it back, yes. But four times more, no. What made the difference? It was the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ because he believed in him, realized he was real, the Savior of the world, asked for forgiveness. Even though he wasn't changed on the outside, he looked exactly the same. And Zacchaeus was the one that became a Christian, not the rich young ruler.